Live from the studios of KBTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now, here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, everyone. And I am so glad that you are starting your day in a positive way here on the Kim Pagano Show. And I am your host. I've got Tom Spence with me. How you doing, Tom?
Everything's well.
Are you awake?
Yes, always awake.
You're always awake.
Yeah, I wake up early, so this
What time
late.
Do you wake up? That's
2:30.
What I'm... 2:30. Really? I mean, I'm 4:30, and my friends are like, what do you have to wake up at 4:30? Isn't that... Now, your kids aren't up. Your wife's not up, right?
It's like you're... She actually wakes up just because I do.
She does. That's like, okay, so my husband and I... That's awesome. Anyways, well, I am so glad that you are starting your day here in a positive way, and I hope that you have something great planned for the rest of your weekend. And joining me in the studio today is Beth Brooks... Is it Patty?
Petit,
I was going to say that, okay. And Bob Ferber.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited to talk about what you've got going on. What can we do? What can we.org, right?
That's
How'd
right.
you come up with that name, and what is it?
You know, I'm so glad you asked that question. And that was a question that kept getting posed and was sort of the inspiration.
Oh, meaning like, what can we do?
What can we do? So it just seemed a natural next step to just, let's call it that. So.
Oh, I love when things like happen like that, you know? Well, let's start, and we're going to talk to you, but let's tell everybody a little bit about what we're going to be talking about, because I know I've got a lot of passionate listeners that are passionate about their animals.
Absolutely. WhatCanWe.org, we're a 501c3 nonprofit, and essentially our big vision is to become the St. Jude's in veterinary medicine. So there is an army of benevolent animal rescues out there who really need our help offsetting the veterinary expenses that unfortunately eat up more than 50% of most of their budgets. So we've identified this niche that if we can resolve this and offset those expenses, as Bob has mentioned, we have the potential to save millions more homeless animals out there.
Wow. Pretty amazing stuff you guys are doing. One, I want to thank you because I love my animals. My mom, my family, we're really passionate about animals. And, you know, there's something about them. It's like that unconditional love. And so I'm really excited to talk with both of you about that. I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now, we do have some giveaways. And our phone number here is 805-419-0008. That's 419-0008. And if for any reason you miss any part of our show today, that you can listen on KimPaganoShow.com and go to iTunes and download them there. And not only that, become a friend on Facebook at Kim Pagano Show. That's where you kind of find out what's going on, you know, all around here in the 805 and just what's happening in our industry. And you get my little positive thoughts for the day every day. So with that, let's start our show. And so how did you get started? What is your career? What did you start off doing? I mean, I know you're a life coach, right? So did you work with people for a while?
Yeah, absolutely. I've worked with people. I've actually had a pretty diverse background, and I've worked in the healthcare industry, marketing, public relations, real estate. I've kind of delved into a lot of things, but I've always been passionate about helping both people and animals my entire life. So.
Now, do you have animals?
Absolutely. I have three canines, which is the maximum we can have right now. So we always have had animals. I raised five children. We always even.
Oh, you have five children?
Yes,
oh,
I do.
Okay. I have four children. How old are your children?
24, 22, 22, 22, and 21.
Wait, you said 22 a couple times there. That means that.
Triplets.
Oh, my gosh. So you got triple the love right going on. Wow.
And they're all animal lovers. They were always passionate. So we've always had a house full of
kids,
dogs.
We've got two cats, two dogs, you know. And it's so funny. It's because we're trying to, we're redoing a room in our house, and we wanted to put white couches, and we have black animals. And so my husband's like, that's not going to work. And I said, remember when we all had white? And he goes, I think you're the only one that decorates with your animals, you know?
No, Bob, really?
My house is decorated completely around the animals.
See?
Yes.
Okay, so Bob, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, I'm an attorney, and I worked as a prosecutor for 33 years for the city of L.A.,
And so look at it, a prosecutor, okay? So, and you still have this huge heart. That really says something. I love that.
Well, when you hear what he prosecuted, you'll understand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
let's hear it.
It's interesting you say that because a lot of people perceive prosecutors as tough as nails people. But actually, in that profession, we're one of the only parts of the legal profession where our goal is to do justice. And justice has to involve a lot of compassion. And I was one of the first gang prosecutors in the country. I also worked with the mentally ill. And all of these, even as a gang prosecutor, it called for a lot of compassion, a lot of understanding, not just for the victims, but sometimes for the suspects and dealing with the community. So I'm very proud of that career, working with gangs and the mentally ill, and had some interesting careers dealing with vice enforcement in Hollywood in the early 80s. But all through that time, I've been an animal rescuer since 5 years old. My mother reminds me about bringing kittens home that were strays in the neighborhood.
My mom, too. My mom, yeah. In fact, I told my mom about your organization. I'm like, here's where you can, you know, she will pick up any animal. She's half of her animals. I mean, and mine, too. I don't really go buy animals anymore. I always save them. And I think that's one of the things, one of the big messages here that we want to talk about. But there are so many people that, you know, they don't have a voice, and we have to be their advocates.
That's
absolutely
right.
And the adopt, don't shop. But a lot of it is just the need for more awareness. I mean, that's a big part of our organization, is spreading awareness, education, and letting people know that there is an option, and that adoption is a wonderful option, and those animals make incredible, you know, parts of our lives and families complete. They're great companions, and
Right, and you know, there was a study done that not only do, you know, single or I guess older people that have a companion, either even another person living in their home, but also a dog or an animal, they live longer.
Absolutely.
I mean, that it just, there's something about it when your dog's waiting for you. You know, I have one little dog that is, one little dog that follows me all over the house. You know, it's like, are we going out? Oh, no, we're not. Okay, you know. And then one dog that's aging right now. And, you know, and you want to go, okay, it's all right. Let's walk over here, you know, where she was. It's a black lab. And, I'm telling you, she had a great life, you know. But now she's slowing down. And you can see it. And my kids are like, Mom. And I'm like, she had a great life. We just have to really care for her. Like we do we do for our elders.
Right. And sometimes it's great training, especially in our society. I think my children have learned more about how to care for people through their early life lessons of caring for animals. And it's great for families to start that early on, because we really lack a lot of that sometimes. And it's making really great positive changes, all these animals that we've brought into our communities and our families, and we're learning those life skills. Right.
I think that actually my relationship with my animals, I really use it as a model for trying to relate to people. Animals teach unconditional love. I mean, who has ever come home in a bad mood and their animal reacts in a bad mood? Your spouse is like, well, why are you in a bad mood? I'm in a good mood.
Bob, you have a really good point there. Absolutely right.
But you learn, no matter what happens during the day, I come home, my animals are thrilled to see me.
Me too.
And they lift me up, and I have a program where I brought animals to schools and nursing homes and have seen remarkable changes. You were talking about those studies. There's thousands of studies now showing about blood pressure, medical help, when people actually get better and better. I saw a woman come out of a coma by bringing a three-legged shepherd once to a nursing home, and she'd been in a coma for 3 months. I brought my three-legged shepherd in, and Trapper, his name was Trapper, he put his paw, they brought me in and said, this woman has never moved for 3 months, don't expect anything. And we went in, and Trapper sat up on his haunches with his little stump and put his paw on the bed, and this woman grabbed, in the coma, grabbed his paw.
Oh, my God, you're giving me chills.
And held on to it. And there wasn't a dry eye in that hospital room. And she held on for about 5 minutes. and moved around, and then the nurse started crying, saying, I'd never seen this before. And then he just, Trapper, moved on to more people and enlightened other people. And so that unconditional love, you know, it's
there is something about it.
It's unconditional, and it doesn't require a college education. We don't have to do all the things with our children. You know, there's a different kind of love that we have with our animals, and a different, whether you go, I could go to the mailbox for 5 minutes or be gone for 5 days. The greeting I get is the same when I come in that door.
That's so true.
You're absolutely right. And now, since you know probably a little more about animals than I do, but, you know, they don't have, you know, every morning I give my animals, they walk out, they go to the bathroom, they come back in, they get their bone. But they want another one and another one, my black lab. And so my
especially
daughter,
black lab.
Yeah.
That was my first dog.
Yeah, so they never are full. They can't remember, right?
Right. The conditioned response. They know I came in the door, I got a treat. So I just came in again, I should get another treat.
Yeah.
So it's up to us to kind of put the, you know,
the boundaries
there, because it's really easy to...
you know what's beautiful about what you just said, Kim, is that also in that context of them not sort of having a memory, animals live in the moment.
Right.
It's
we need to learn from that.
Absolutely.
And everybody, you know, how many people actually live in the moment without thinking about what just happened, what happened yesterday, what will happen? Animals teach me that experience every moment as if it's the last moment. And there's so many sayings about that, but being in a house, and I have three dogs and seven cats, and that's down from about eight dogs and like 19 cats over the years. And being in that environment, it really... Then I go out in the world and I see people and I have to remind myself, you know, slow down. I'm on the freeway and I get upset and I think, my animals don't get upset on the freeway, you know. They're just fascinated by all the people. So
isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. You know what? I'm so excited to talk to both of you, and I'm so excited that you all are here with us here on the Kim Pagano Show, starting your day in a positive way. We're going to take a really quick break. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I've got Beth Brooks, Pate, did I get it right? And Bob Ferber here, and they are the CEO and co-founder of WhatCanWe.org. What a great name. And Tom Spence, myself, and I'd love to give away something right now. So let's do a $25 gift certificate to Lures, one of my favorite fish places. And they are all over the place right now. They're in Ventura. They're in Camarillo. Amazing food, any kind of fish you can eat, early bid specials. They've got the oyster bar. It's a really good place to go and check it out. So what I'll do is I'll take caller number 7 at 805-419-0008, and I will be right back. Stay with us.
Looking for a camp, a preschool, an orthodontist? Look no further than ParentClick.com, one-stop shop for families in Ventura County. You'll find everything for every age in the ParentClick directory. Looking for something to do this weekend? Check out our community calendar. How about a place for your teen to volunteer? Read Parent Chatter. Go to ParentClick.com and register for our weekly newsletter. ParentClick.com, the local family scene and city guide for Ventura County.
Debbie, wow, you look great. What have you done?
It's my plastic surgeon, Dr. Curtis Perry. He gave me my look back. He's also an award-winning sculptor.
You look so natural. I've been thinking about plastic surgery. Where is he?
He's in Agoura Hills, and his consultations are free. Call him. Here's his number, 818-661-0791.
You would never know. That's it. I'm calling today.
Dr. Curtis Perry, for all your cosmetic surgery with a sculptor's artistry. Call 818-661-0791. That's 818-667-0791.
Stronghold Schools is an alternative learning program in Ventura for any parent whose child is not doing well or absolutely thriving in the current educational system that they're in. Stronghold is a way for that child to excel in every aspect of their life, whether it's academically, behaviorally, and overcome any challenge that they find themselves in. You can find us at Stronghold School Systems in Ventura, 805-830-5850, or visit us at our website, strongholdschools.com. Our motto at Stronghold Schools is that absolutely no child child is broken, and they have the God-given right to overcome any challenge and any obstacle they find themselves confronted with. And our students do.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KBTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for all those callers, and we will let you know who is going to take that $25 gift certificate to Lures. I do have more to give away, so stay with us. Right now, we are talking with Beth Brooks, Pate, and Bob Ferber, and they are from whatcanwe.org. We're talking about animals. We're talking about animals that we can make a difference. And I know you guys are putting together, what is it called, Kitchen Rescues?
Yes.
I want to talk a little bit about that. I do want to remind you of our next guest that's going to be joining us, and that is Leo Lowndes, and her book is How to Create Chemistry with Anyone. And, you know, I mean, really, that's what our animals do for us every single day. So it kind of is really in line with what we're talking about. But she's going to give us 75 ways to spark it fast and make it last. So there you go. So anyway, so tell us a little bit about your organization, how my listeners can get involved. People that love animals, I mean, that is universal, I have to tell you. You know, you can really judge somebody by their character of, you know, when they walk in the door and maybe they're a little nervous of your animals and you go, oh, no, you know. Or we have one animal, this is the craziest, and he's just a little small, kind of a dachshund mix. We adopted him. He was really little, and they told me he was going to be a black lab. And he's only still little, you know. But he has a problem with blondes. And so if you're a blonde and you're walking in, he looks at you and he really wants to attack. He's only little, you know. But so we have to say, you know, and people get a little nervous, and I'm like, he was abused. Obviously, I'm like trying to figure out what his
abused by a blonde.
Probably, right.
Or
you know,
that someone's trying to replace you.
He's
protecting the territory.
See, we could do a little another whole show on that, you know, what is your dog or your animal trying to say, right?
Right.
So, but, you know, so tell us a little bit. Now, you were a life coach. How did you get into?
Okay. Really, we all have our passions. And, you know, just like you talked about and many of your listeners, I've been passionate about animals my whole life. Then we come to a point where we have an inspiration in our lives. And that inspiration is what causes us to take action on those passions oftentimes. And my inspiration was a young man, Christopher, who at 16, he was an incredible volunteer at Life Animal Rescue. He stepped up and he really had a gift with animals. And he inspired other young teenagers to volunteer. He was just really loved doing it, not for credit or anything else, but he had that connection. And that was wonderful. And he was literally the boy next door to me. He was my best friend's son. I knew Christopher since he was very young. And I have been a volunteer. My family volunteers at the rescue with them for years and years. And sadly, February 2012, we lost Christopher in an accident.
Oh,
car accident.
Sorry to hear
and,
that.
You know, really, Christopher had ignited this torch, and he inspired so many people. And when he passed away, I was there with the family, and I was the one fielding all the calls. And so many people were calling saying, what can we do? What can we do? What can we do? And, you know, when a young person tragically leaves us, you know, too soon, flowers, food, we don't want any of that. The family said, you know, Christopher loved animals. And if you want to do something, help the animals. And so that really was the moment that torch just kind of was passed.
Oh, you give me chills. I love that when, and that's great.
And it inspired. We said, you know, all these people around the country, because a lot of people knew Christopher and his family. And so we sort of we realized the attention of many people in a position to do something.
And make a difference.
And make a difference. And that's what makes our lives complete. What I find, and I found as a life coach and just as a human being, when you have purposeful passion, when you're doing something and making a difference, it makes a difference in your life.
I love that word, purposeful passion. You know, I mean, because we all have passions. And it's funny, my older son always says, Mom, you always talk about passions, but really finding a purposeful passion To me, that's like a win-win.
Absolutely. And what we did is we sat down with many, with the founders of this rescue, Life Animal Rescue. They've been around 20 years. I mean, they have rescued and forever homed thousands of animals, this one family. Obviously not alone, but because many, many people did a little, they were able to accomplish a lot. So we said to them, what is your greatest need? If we could really make an impact, if we could, you know, accomplish a mission that Christopher might have done had he had that opportunity.
How old was Christopher?
19.
Really?
Yeah. And so it's just he and my daughter literally started kindergarten hand in hand. I mean, you know, they share that.
Is your daughter a part of this?
Yeah, absolutely. My whole family. I mean, we did this book, Tales for Life, for Life Animal Rescue, to kind of.
So did you write that?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Can I see
it? It's a compilation of stories. It's a lot of people actually.
So what kind of stories are in here?
That book is really a great educational tool for us because it helps create, which is the number one thing we realize, there needs to be more awareness. So these are stories that working inside the rescue and being on the other side, we get to see the animals. We know their histories, where they came from. We understand the founders, what they go through. We get to share that with people in this. And then we went to the volunteers who are working to do that transition, to get them ready for that forever home. And we put their stories in. And then we went to the people who are the forever homes of animals. And we asked them to give us their story. You know, how has this animal impacted your life? You know, and it's healing at both ends of the leash. That's what we're about. And that's what these stories really connect.
Oh, my gosh. I love that.
And what they inspire in people, hopefully, is that, you know, people come to me for years. I've been rescuing animals for years. And people say, where do you get these great animals? And I say, well, if you had seen it, the dog or the cat, the first time I got it, maybe you wouldn't have said that.
True.
And so these animals in here, they're all rescues. They're all, you know, came from different, stories of abuse.
Walks of lives, right? Yeah.
And now you look at them, and it's like just a showcase of the most wonderful, loving creatures who've changed people's lives. And, you know, and we were talking earlier about, you know, adopting animals. People don't realize that in this country, literally millions of dogs and cats that are adoptable are killed every year in this country. Hundreds of thousands, just almost a million in California. And, you know, San Diego, by the way, just passed a law.
I heard.
Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
All pet shops now can only sell adoptable animals that were rescued from shelters. And L.A. has almost gotten to that point now where they're doing the same thing. And it's a recognition of, you know, these
how
puppy
hard we've worked for, right. I mean, really, you
really
know. Yeah.
And what's great about that book, I use it, I go out and I talk to groups of students and their parents, and I ask them, what do you envision when you hear rescue animal or shelter animal?
Well, you know, it's interesting because my black lab, right, I think we adopted her from, I don't know, PetSmart or one of those. Mm-hmm. She had her little legs crossed. She was only a tiny little puppy. And we had just lost our other dog to that dog food that had gone around.
Oh, with the melamine.
A golden retriever that I just love dearly. I tell you, that was very traumatic. Anyways, we adopted our black lab, and so they said, you know, we're going to have to come out and, you know, check your house out. I'm like, okay, I've got four kids. Yeah, you know, no problem. Well, the first time she came out, half of our French doors were ripped or eaten apart, and she's like, oh, we'll take her back. No, you know, you know, and
good,
so
yeah,
they're yeah, you know, and so they're like, you know, the next time she came out, like half of a, you know, a shade was ripped. She's like, did she do that? I'm like, yeah, but we're almost there, you know, you know, and she's like, okay, we wish more people were like you. And I said, you know, I know that she's, you know, she's frustrated. She's trying to learn who we are, you know. It was, and, oh, my God, happened to be the best and greatest dog we have now, you know. But, and the same thing, we have two cats that we, you know, we went in to adopt our, somehow our coyotes had gotten our white cats, which I never let them out. And somebody was babysitting, and somehow they slipped out. Mm-hmm. So we went to adopt two more cats because I love cats, and we always had white ones. And then we got our black lab, okay? And then we, anyways, it was just before Halloween, and they said, please adopt these black ones because if
really
not,
difficult.
It's really. So we're like, all right, well, you know. And you know what's interesting is people come over the same thing you said, Bob. How do you pick your animals? Well, you know what? They kind of form into your life.
Yes.
And into your family. And they're like, I mean, I have one cat that's like a dog.
You know, he just she rolls up. Her name's a Snuggles, you know.
Oh, perfect.
And, yeah, and she just snuggles with whoever, and they're like, oh, she doesn't even know me, and she's, you know. Mm-hmm. It's because she's so comfortable where she's at,
yeah.
So.
And that's the good and when they look at those pictures in that book, people, when I say to them, are these the animals you envision to be rescued? And they go, oh, no, not like those. You know, they think they're all mages. And I say, well, interestingly, I'm so glad then to share this with you, because every animal in that book is a rescue animal. Purebred animals, puppies. You know, that's the thing we want people to understand. Just about anything you're looking for is up for adoption.
And, you know, this is kind of, I've been in the animal rescue world since I was a kid, but aggressively in the last 30 years. When I get calls, all the time about, oh, I have this animal, and I just got him, and he's really sick. I'm like, well, where'd you get him? From a pet store. 90% of the calls are, what do I do? I just got an animal, and it's got this problem. It's almost, and it's either a medical or a behavior problem. And this is why people think, oh, a shelter animal, I want to know where they came from. The reality is that the shelter animals tend to be sturdier, they are better socialized, they get along with other dogs naturally.
They have a background, right?
I mean, they have a background.
And they appreciate it.
They're street smart, you know? Yeah.
That's
right. They've been rescued. I hear time and time again, and you read the stories in the book, that it's as though they know you rescued them.
And they want to give back.
They do.
Yeah,
and that's the healing at both ends of that leash, and they do give back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have I'll show it to you in the Tales for Life. There's a picture of him, but I have a blind chihuahua. And I got him out of South L.A. shelter, and there was a sign on the cage, this dog bites. And they didn't even say that he was blind. Yeah, that's him, and he's in the middle.
Yeah.
And I just took him because I was there for a meeting, and I took him home, and they're like, you don't
want to. And Bob thought, it's probably meant to be, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, people say that's a Bob dog.
Yeah.
He's blind, and he was biting everybody. And who wants a blind dog that bites? And I want you to know now he's on his way to being a therapy dog. It took a couple of years of socialization. I have people at the house now painting and a cleaning person. He kisses them, follows them. He goes up to strangers.
So he
now.
Was probably abused.
Almost certainly abused.
Yeah.
And he's a young dog, and now he's going to teach, and he's going to go to schools and kids with parents with cancer. I work with the wellness community. The magic of animals is unbelievable. And what drew me to working with Beth and whatcanwe.org, I was starting to say as a prosecutor, I found that people weren't prosecuting cases of animal abuse. I was getting calls as a prosecutor, people telling me they knew where a dog fight was or they knew about an animal being abused, and there was nobody to call in L.A. And so I ended up in the country to do animal abuse.
You give me a chill. Okay, now I know.
That's my claim to fame. For the last 13 years, I did that. But what I found was there was two forms of abuse. There's the purposeful abuse, the beatings and the poisonings. But the most common form of abuse was neglect. And from that neglect, a huge portion of that is the vet bills, the problem of paying for vet bills.
And no question. And, you know, one of the big things is, I know, like, my mom is an elder. She's on a fixed income. She wants to help so bad. I mean, her two dogs had cancer, and she's like, what do I do? Where do they go? I mean,
well,
you know,
in neglect cases, it's almost impossible to really find a place. If you have a child and you're poor, you can go to a local hospital. If you're poor or don't have enough money for an operation and your dog needs it, where are you going to go? And it's the same thing with rescue groups. And what I love about, and I would love to see the day when there's low-cost vet care for everyone, but I was drawn to whatcanwe.org because rescue groups are trying to make a difference. And the biggest obstacle is the vet bills. Just like individuals, it's the biggest obstacle. And people say, oh, I'm sure the vets will do it for free. The fact is that vets are strapped. Vets do not make $200,000 a year like people think. Vets are giving out a lot of free stuff already. And with the economy, it's become more and more difficult for them. And so rescue groups are not able to get these vet bills. So what can we is working on a positive solution, and that's what drew me. And prosecuting animal abuse was important, but it wasn't solving a problem.
Wow, I love what you guys do. You know what? You're going to have to come back. I'm going to have to get back to, you know, putting this together more and really getting the word out there. Again, if you are just joining us right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We've got Beth Brooks Pate here and Bob Ferber. Their organization is whatcanwe.org, Tales from Lives of All Animals, and Healing at Both Ends of the Leash. Love that. Oh, my God. stay with us. We're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about how to create chemistry with anyone. We've already created a little chemistry in here, so stay with us. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Stronghold Schools is an alternative learning program in Ventura for any parent whose child is not doing well or absolutely thriving in the current educational system that they're in. Stronghold is a way for that child to excel in every aspect of their life, whether it's academically, behaviorally, and overcome any challenge that they find themselves in. You can find us at Stronghold School Systems in Ventura, 805-830-5850, or visit us at our website, strongholdschools.com. Our motto at Stronghold Schools is that absolutely no child is broken, and they have the God-given right to overcome any challenge and any obstacle they find themselves confronted with, and our students do.
Debbie, wow, you look great. What have you done?
It's my plastic surgeon, Dr. Curtis Perry. He gave me my look back. He's also an award-winning sculptor.
You look so natural. I've been thinking about plastic surgery. Where is he?
He's in Agoura Hills, and his consultations are free. Call him. Here's his number, 818-661-0791.
You would never know. That's it. I'm calling today.
Dr. Curtis Perry, for all your cosmetic surgery with a sculptor's artistry. Call 818-661-0791. That's 818-667-0791.
Looking for a camp, a preschool, an orthodontist? Look no further than ParentClick.com, one-stop shop for families in Ventura County. You'll find everything for every age in the ParentClick directory. Looking for something to do this weekend? Check out our community calendar. How about a place for your teen to volunteer? Read Parent Chatter. Go to ParentClick.com and register for our weekly newsletter. ParentClick.com, the local family scene and city guide for Ventura County.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show. Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, starting your day in a positive way and adding value every day in every way. Our next guest is Leal Lowndes, and her book is How to Create Chemistry with Anyone. And, Leal, are you there?
Hey, I sure am, and very happy to be with you today, Kim.
Oh, good. All right. Well, we've got Beth and Bob and Tom in the studio. And so tell us, how do we connect with people and make it last?
Well, I think if we're talking about romantic chemistry, which is what I'm talking about in the book, it's very different for younger people than for older people, because with younger people, there's always the hormones working more than with the
hormones. We don't have hormones working, right?
Yeah, you and I do. Maybe I know.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But so tell us, I mean, you have some actually tips for that, knowing if somebody's into you and how to kind of grow that chemistry, right?
Exactly, exactly. And, of course, a lot of it is at first sight. Now, interestingly enough, at first sight is a lot more powerful for men than it is for women, because I'm sure that we all know that men are more interested in objective good looks. We women actually are more concerned with looks in a different way. In a sense, looks are more important to us in that, let's say that you lined up 100 women on the wall, and a man would look at these women, all of maybe the correct age and such, and he might be attracted to, say, 40 of them. We women, if we're attracted to two of the men, putting, you know, 100 men in the room with us, because we are so much more particular about a man's character, his personality.
You know, thank you so much.
All those unimportant things.
Yeah, Leal, though, you know what, thank you, because, you know, I am very attracted to my husband. Thank God that I'm married to him. But, you know, I always think about, you know, when I meet other men, I'm like, you know, what's wrong with you? It takes a certain look, a certain, you know, chemistry. And a lot of times it's not just the looks. It's their personality. It's their passion, that, you know, what they're into, their conversation. I think I've gotten past the looks now.
Right, the energy.
Yes.
Yeah, the energy, exactly.
The ability to make a woman laugh, I've heard that's a huge thing for women, that if a man can make a woman laugh. A man is not really looking
to laugh,
yeah. Have a woman laugh. His buddies will do that, or Marx Brothers movie.
Yeah, there you go. What's your thought on that, Lil?
Golly, you know, I'm sorry, Kim. I really didn't hear couldn't hear the other voice quite as well.
I was just saying.
Microphone or?
Oh, I was just saying. If you can you hear me now?
I can hear you, but the words are a tad muffled. You speak beautifully. I can.
Oh well,
that.
Thank you.
For some reason, the sound isn't as clear.
Well, he was just saying that he doesn't need his, you know, men don't need somebody to make them laugh. Their buddies can do that, right? So women are more into making, you know, having a partner, you know, have a sense of humor.
Right. Exactly. Because we, from the minute, even if we don't necessarily want to be married, from the first couple of minutes, we are sensitive subconsciously, to what a man would be like, as a life partner. And Mother Nature actually programs us with this, because we women are responsible for the quality of offspring. Men are programmed for quantity of offspring. So, you know, we care more about the long run. And if we really like a guy on a first date, again, even if we don't want to get married and want to stay single forever, our taste is dependent on whether or not we think this person is a fine person that we want to be with for a longer time.
Now, Lil, you know, when we were younger, and Beth, maybe you can help me, you know, we got two men, two women up here, and then Lil on the line, is, you know, if you played a little hard to get, right, that really, does that make men more interested or no? Not nowadays, right?
I mean, I have experienced, it seems that way, that I'll be interested in a woman, and she'll sort of be interested, and the moment I back off and become unavailable,
she's calling
me three times a day and for 2 weeks, and then when we get back together, I'm kind of busy. And yeah, is that a real thing, Lil, that really does occur?
Well, from what I understand, from the question, and Kim, you can correct me again because I'm having a hearing problem on that. But as far as hard to get is concerned, a woman, when she first meets a man, should definitely not play hard to get at the very beginning, because men are terribly insecure. I don't know whether people realize, or women realize or not, but fear of failure is just a huge thing with men. And if he feels that the woman is not interested at first, he's just not going to ask her out.
He's going to write you off right there, right?
Well, they're just going to say, okay, I failed, unless a man is really overconfident, and we really don't like that quality either. But here's the thing. After a few dates or whatever, playing a little hard to get doesn't hurt because you've whetted his appetite with your personality, and then he kind of he is more turned on by hard to get. But definitely when someone asks you out for the first date, please, ladies, do not play hard to get, or he probably won't ever ask you out again. So just figure he's rejected, and it's not true. It's just that's the way your men are.
And do you feel, one of the things I've found, Lil, when I've worked with people, is that for me, I like to encourage people to be authentic. And sometimes things that we read in books and we're told by, you know, different generations, it really takes some of the authenticity out of our personalities, and we don't get to have that connection if we just were ourselves and not trying to play a game
kind of
or
like,
go by rules.
You know, my mom used to say, never lie because you have to remember.
Exactly.
Like, you know? So you can't be somebody else because... How, you know, who are you going to be when the next time that you come around, right?
And then who were they attracted to? If you're playing a role and then they're interested, then when you become you, it may not be the right connection.
Correct.
So why not just start out where you want to end up?
Be who you are, right?
Now, that being said, Beth and I had an interesting conversation with some other people about do you dress up for a date? Beth had prepared me for a date recently and said, you and her daughter, that you have to wear nice shoes. You can't wear your sneakers. And there was somebody else there that said, no, I want the guy to dress like a slob if that's the way he is. And Beth was like, no, I don't want a guy. You know what? How far do you go to impress a woman without being phony?
On the first date, what's your, well, we're interested, chime in on the first impression. How important is that to make
impression.
A good first impression?
Great point.
Well, clothes are very, on a man, in fact, it's funny, sometimes in my relationship classes I
Cha-ching,
say, which
right?
is more important, are clothes more important to a man, or are, you know, what a woman wears more important to a man, or is what a man wears more important to a woman? The answer is definitely the last. Women are far more impressed by what a man is wearing. Now, it does not have to be dressing up, but things should be fine quality. I mean, if you're going to dress casually, for heaven's sake, if you're going to wear a sweater, get a cashmere sweater. I mean, yeah, it's more expensive, but for heaven's sake, you can wear it. You know, it's a lot cheaper to buy one cashmere sweater than 10 right-on sweaters or whatever.
Oh, I love
there
it.
There you go, Bob.
One designer shirt and one pair of Gucci or whatever you want shoes. One pair of fine shoes. Definitely. We women, again, we're projecting, thinking, this is a man who can take care of himself, which can take care of me someday, and he appreciates fine quality. And so, yes, definitely, mm-hmm. gentlemen.
You know,
nice,
like. It's funny because I think of this as, you know, if you clean your house before a housekeeper comes,
right,
then
right.
they know what you expect.
Right.
Kind of the same kind of a thing. If you're put together and you
I
go,
do that.
Yeah, so, you know, I love it. I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm so glad that you are choosing us. I know there's lots of choices out there. And every Saturday morning from 6 to 7 and then again from 2 to 3, you can listen to my show again. And we are talking right now with Leah Lowens, and her book is How to Create Chemistry with Anyone. Now, you know, you talk a little bit about the two-year itch. I've always heard of the seven-year itch. What's the two-year itch?
Yeah, the two-year itch is something that actually Mother Nature programs into a relationship. Mother Nature plays a huge role because her whole reason for being, in a sense, for human beings, is to propagate the species. Well, after 2 years, many people get pregnant in the first 2 years of their marriage, and so Mother Nature has really no vested interest in people staying together, so it's very difficult. And also because the sexual chemistry between people has, and this has been proven by studies, an 18 month to 2 year duration period. And after
You know, you're so into your children that you're not into your partner anymore, and men start to feel a little neglected, right? You know, Lil, I would love to talk to you again. We need more time, and I know my show is almost over. Where do we find your book? And then I'm going to have you back.
Okay, it's online. And also, I wrote another book, which in a way is more relevant to a lot of the things we've been discussing today, and that is called How to Make Anyone Fall in Love with You. The How to Create Chemistry book deals more with the brain and with nature's influence on sex and relationships. But if we're looking for things to do and not do on dates and such, How to Make Anyone Fall in Love with You might be more appropriate for your listeners.
Wow, okay. And so, you know, I guess we do have time. Do we have more time? We do. Okay, good. Let's. I'm like, okay, you know. So here's a couple questions. Do you have any more questions?
Yeah, I do. The other thing that I think happens in relationships and women need to be a little mindful of this is for a lot of men, when a woman becomes a mother, you mm-hmm. lose some of there's a little bit of some men have an issue with that in terms of the attraction or how they feel about that. You know, they have to define, are you a mother right now or a partner
now? Which hat do you want to wear, right?
Yeah,
I know.
And the appeal of that, because there's a lot of
issues.
And
you had five kids, like I had four kids, okay? It's a lot. My husband was very patient, but let me tell you, you know, patience can run out.
And I had five in 3 years.
Yes,
so they were
okay,
all, you know,
see, I had them right there, too.
But we made
Didn't
a
not
big,
in 5 and 3 years, yeah, but...
But we always made a big effort to keep that primary relationship and to go out away from the kids. Do you find that, Lil, that part of that two-year thing is you kind of stop working perhaps on that relationship, on that dating, because you're together?
Well, this is something that comes right out of the second book, the How to Create Chemistry. What happens is when a woman gives birth to a child, she is flooded with a chemical called oxytocin. And oxytocin is a chemical that bonds a mother to her child forever. And this oxytocin influence is bonding the mother more to the child than it is to the husband at that particular period. So even though we want to stay attractive and such, our first concern is the child. And many men at that point start to feel that she is not as sexually attracted to him, that her whole attention is on the baby.
And do you know anything about, I've heard some interesting things about pheromones, and that each person, we actually have them and we give them off, and we're attracted to one another because of those. Does that change when our hormonal system changes?
Great question, Beth.
Yes, excellent question, and yes, it does. And also, something I want to say about pheromones, which is very important, is each person has a particular immune system, and the it's given off in our sweat and other excretions from our body. And if you, as a woman, and have a compatible immune system with a man, then the first kiss will taste good. Your partner will smell good. So definitely, that's sort of a marriage made for having children. If you don't like the taste of the first kiss, it means your immune systems are really not set to produce the best children.
Wow, so, yes, that's really interesting. Yeah.
You know what, that I actually had a relationship years ago where I almost got married to a woman that was gorgeous and wonderful person, and just what you were talking about.
Her taste didn't taste good?
To me, it did not. The chemistry, both in just kissing and intimacy and sex, there was nothing physically wrong, but it literally did not taste good, smell good,
wow,
or anything.
Yeah.
And I thought there was something wrong with me, because everybody's, why are you not marrying this wonderful woman?
That's that you went with
But I never had anybody acknowledge it except for you, Leo. That's the first time I ever heard that.
Wow, that's very interesting. So here's a question. We do actually have a couple minutes more here, but how do we keep that chemistry going and that sparkle in our relationships?
There are several ways. And again, everything is, in a sense, chemically based. You want to have the oxytocin flow between you as well. And human touch, a non-sexual touch, is very important, especially for a woman. Holding hands, spooning each other while you're sleeping, sitting close to each other on the couch when watching television. Human touch creates oxytocin in the human body, and oxytocin is indeed the bonding chemical. Doing things together, it's a totally different chemical. Dopamine is the chemical that rushes into our brain when we do something exciting. That's why when you're first dating somebody, that's the most exciting time. It's dopamine rushing into the brain. Well, after you get married, lots of times you stop doing those exciting things together. So the dopamine goes down, and you automatically think that it's because you're not as excited about your partner. But if you go, I'm not going to say skydiving, but if you do something, by water rafting or something, even that's a little scary, even scary movies together, it creates that dopamine which you project on your partner.
Now, okay, and I just want to remind any of my listeners that are just joining in with us right now, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and I'm so excited that you're here. We've got Beth and Bob and Tom and myself in the studio. Bless you.
Sorry.
He's got a little, he's allergic to us already here, you know. Anyways, and we're talking to Leo Lones right now, and her book is How to Create Chemistry with Anyone, 75 Ways to Spark It Fast and Make It Last. And I'm really excited. And also, Bob and Beth are from whatcanwe.org. And I love their little tagline on their book is healing at both ends of the leash. I just love that. So isn't that cute? I mean, it's all about connecting, you know. But here's my thing. Can one partner be more sexual or more, physical than the other partner? How do you keep that alive in your relationship?
That's a good question, too.
Thank you.
Of course, one can have a bigger sex drive. And by the way, I wrote about that in, actually I'll give you my website because I was writing about that recently in one of my blogs. It's Cool Communicating, CoolCommunicating.com. And I'm continuing to put a lot of this information into blogs because there's so much about things like that. And yes, absolutely, one partner can be more amorous than the other. And that can pose problems, obviously, later on in the relationship.
Wow.
But for the partner who's not, all I can say is fake it till you make it.
Oh, that's been my saying for a long time. I love it. Okay. So is it bad to fake it?
No, not at all, because once you do that, you start to enjoy it more as well, and you get into a pattern of not making love for a week or two, and it just becomes so easy to stay into that pattern. And so also, here's something that I don't even know if I can say on the air, but if I can, quickies are extremely important to a man. Now, a woman wants long, slow lovemaking, and in turn, he should definitely, when there's time, on the weekend or whenever, indulge in those as much as you can. A woman's body is sensitive, so much sensitive all over. But a woman just doesn't like a quickie. Yeah, she thinks it's, you know, whatever. But good heavens, if you want to keep the man excited, quickies are a good way to do it and let him know that, in turn, you want nice flowies.
thank you for that public service announcement on behalf of men.
I
support that wholeheartedly.
I love it. That's great. Okay, we got to keep that in mind, you know, because men, it's really a stress relief, correct?
It's a what?
A stress relief.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. But even more important than that, it's when you're making love, you feel marriage is good, and especially a man, if he gets that goes down, he starts to feel that the woman doesn't love him because she interprets her giving him sex as love.
Wow. So it's a very much give and take, though. There has to be, like you said, that's
absolutely
a good point. If there's the quickie on the one end, there has to be the long, slow romantic on the other. And so it has to be a two-way street.
And I would say, absolutely. Absolutely.
And I would say, as a man, I crave both. I mean, I don't dislike the loving, cuddling, long, slow. I love that. But I think Leo's right that, you know, she was talking about men and lack of confidence. The quickie kind of gives you the boost of she still loves me, and I just need – men need to be reminded about that, I think, much more than women do, even though the stereotype is the other way around.
Public service announcement for Bob Ferber, in case anyone's
I'm already making my list of, you know. I actually matched about five couples up before, because I'm a hair therapist. And so when I talk to people, you really get to know the authentic, like we talked about, that authentic who you are.
Right.
And that's when I'm like, ooh, I really know this person really well, and they would be a great connection.
For me, it's Must Love Animals.
Oh, yes. I got that. Yeah, I saw that. What was that movie?
Must Love
Dogs. So there you go. I figured that was like right there, loud and clear. All right. Well, gosh, you know, what I would love to do is I have a $30 gift card right now, and I know we're in the middle of our interview, but I would really love to take caller number 10 at 805-419-0008. And this is good for the Sharkies all over. There's one in Ventura, Camarillo, Simi Valley. They have their power plate. They've got, I just went in there the other day, they've got watermelon basil. Wait, come back in here. It's really good. So I've got a $30 gift card to Sharkies. And again, caller number 10. With that, 419-0008, and you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. So if you could leave us with a couple tips, Leo, what would they be?
Well, this is another little racy one. But first we'll start with the not so racy side, it's just the flip side of what I'm about to say. But when a man first meets a woman, instead of coming off as sexy, she doesn't really care about that at first. He should come off like somebody who'd be a good father. I mean, someone with character, intelligence, caring, being protective, and things like that. So don't worry about being a cool stud when you meet a woman, gentleman. Come off more as somebody who is a good, responsible person. Now, women, you don't want to come across as cheap. You certainly don't want to dress cheaply. But when you see a man, it doesn't hurt to maybe lick your lips, pull your blouse aside a little bit, and let him feel that you indeed are sexually attracted to him and him alone.
There you
and
go.
And that, that's a turn on. So that's kind of a little tip for people, meeting people at clubs. Oh, one thing online. A woman should wear red in her profile picture. Men are more attracted to women who are wearing red. Again, it's the dopamine, the hot color.
And I heard never take a picture in the bathroom. You know those ones? Like,
oh, in the mirror?
Yeah, in the mirror, you know, with no shirt on or whatever. I don't know.
No,
anyways,
no,
all right.
No,
well, Neil Lowndes and her book is How to Create Chemistry with Anyone. And thank you so much. I'm going to have you back because this was fun. And I think that it's very informational, and I think people need to know more about connecting. So thank you
great.
So much. I want to.
It's been a pleasure. Can people listen to it online afterward? Because
yes, at the KimPaganoShow.com.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. All right, Beth, Bob, how do we get in touch with you?
You know, the best thing is to go to our website, www.whatcanwe.org. whatcanwe.org. We have a national relief fund. I'd love for you to check that out. Also, our Kitchen Rescues Project, our biggest fundraiser of the year. Definitely want to hit that Kitchen Rescues tab at the top of the homepage. And we will be at the Pooch Parade tomorrow on Sunday from 9 to 4. And it's going to be a great event at the San Buenaventura State Beach Park. Come out, bring your animals, come visit us. We need volunteers. If you're interested, go to the website, hit the contact us, and let us know about you. If you'd like to get involved, you'd like to do more, because I really encourage you, what can you do? Do something. That's
well, and I love it. Thank you so much for being a guest
thank
on our
you.
Show here. You've
thank
been listening
you.
To the Kim Pagano Show. I want to remind you of our 2 o'clock show today. And let me end the show with something positive to lift your life. Your imagination is your only intelligence having fun. So with that, remember, it's a good day to have a great day. You've been listening to the Kim Pagano Show, and I'll talk to you later.
We're new.